So here's to all of the good thinkers, and here's to the lonely drinker. But don't you know, let this moment pass.
Hello, folks. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and I'm the host of the Crude Life Media Network and podcast. Thank you, folks, for tuning in to The Crude Life, a place for expert interviews, full-length features, and specialty programs. And it is all thanks to our fine sponsors. Be loyal to our sponsors. They keep the program free and literally keep our lights on.
So here's to watching the clocks of our grandfathers, and here's to stopping and picking flowers, and here's to not letting this moment pass you by.
Kind of the process.
Well, what's and this is going to be interesting as we move forward. Marijuana is a controlled substance in the United States. So, first of all, there is no authority granted from the federal government. So rules and regulations are going to have to be developed at the state level. We have quite a program concerning industrial hemp, which is certainly in the same family as marijuana. And I have some concerns as we move forward how we're going to deal with this, because we have industrial hemp growers out there who need to have their crop protected with respect to any cross-pollination issues. So we're going to have to think about where planting is going to take place, what's the topography, what is the prevailing winds, are there buffers, are there barriers in place, natural or man-made, how we are going to have to convey information, do we need to register marijuana growers and producers based on the fact that we may need to know where the production is at. Plus, since this is going for medical purposes, it's not going to be, you know, throw the doors open, everybody can plant it. I'm sure there's going to have to be some rules put in place with some oversight, probably much like the pharmaceutical industry. I would suspect the health department would play one role. We would play another role, because there's another part to this too, which is crop protection products that would be applied to these plants. To date, there is nothing that is registered in the United States that can be applied. In Canada, there's a few products that can. Now, I'm talking with my colleagues in Colorado. This is one of the biggest headaches they had when they contacted me in this past couple years ago in their state. They are wondering, how are we dealing with industrial hemp production and cultivation, because they had people that just were doing whatever they wanted. Well, that's illegal. And since I have primacy and oversight on crop protection products, they can't just put on whatever they want, because people are going to be ingesting this. And unless we know how the plant is going to take it up, how it's going to metabolize it, is there going to be any residue left in the leaves, in the product? That's a concern. So there's going to have to be some structure, some rules and regulations, unfortunately, that are going to have to go along with the cultivation of this to make sure that we are, first of all, safely producing something. Secondly, something that is going to be safely administered to the public, for medical purposes, and then third, we have a whole cultivation agronomic issues that have to be considered, and where it's at, how it's being managed. And I would suspect their oversight would come in two different areas, probably with the North Dakota Department of Health and also with the North Dakota Department of Agriculture.
So, two-part question coming for you here. Now, I was told by someone involved with the Compassionate Care Act, which is what I think the Medical Marijuana Act was called in North Dakota, that there was a 30-day window to construct a law or to do a 30-day window basically to get this act rolling. Is that, do you know anything about that? Is that true or false? And also, are you looking at other states, Colorado, Oregon, you know, Maryland, Washington, D.C.? There's a number of states that have a medical marijuana in the books, Minnesota, a neighboring state. Are you looking to them, or have you looked to them for maybe some guidance?
Well, I would certainly not be opposed to it. I'd look at all different avenues to try and develop any guidelines that they have with respect to cultivation. I would suspect, though, that if you're talking about just licensing it to be sold for use in the state, that's going to be much different than the cultivation production of marijuana. And that's why I said I believe the health department is going to play one role and provide oversight. But when it comes to the cultivation and production, that's going to be the role that we're going to play. And I have been, you know, in the past, just because Colorado reached out and we talked about some of their circumstances and situations, I will probably re-engage them and others in the conversation on what have they done. But we already have a system in place, at least for industrial hemp, for the production and agronomic aspects of it. We'll continue to probably look at that as a model. But I would think that rules would have to be in place to at least identify who the growers are. And then my next question is, where are you going to get the seed? Because that's a controlled substance, and it's illegal in the United States. So there are going to be commerce laws and other things that are going to have to be considered when trying to move forward and implement this particular measure that's been passed.
And I should mention, too, we're talking about more of the larger scale operations as opposed to somebody growing half a dozen plants in their house because they have a red card, which is known as a cannabis card, a medical marijuana card. Right? That's what we're talking about here?
Yes. And if you are growing it, again, it comes back to you're probably going to have some abilities, some oversight, or something's going to have to be known about what you're doing and how you're doing it. And I would think that the health department provides some oversight. But again, when it comes to the cultivation of plants, and because of Plant Protection Act and animal health protection or animal plant health inspection services, all those things that fall back underneath us, We have a responsibility to make sure that the people aren't breaking the law either. The fear that I've heard from and the problems that have occurred in other states is you have people out there applying plant protection products that are not labeled for cannabis. And that's There's a federal and a state law that will not allow you to do such a thing because it hasn't been tested or evaluated, and it could be harmful and damaging.
Hmm. Have you spoken to anybody in terms of people who are looking at getting farming operations going? Are there people that are has anybody tried to get this going yet? Either pre-election or now that it's passed in North Dakota, has anybody contacted you to try to get a permit, I guess?
No, they haven't, probably because they aren't aware of what that process may be. They're probably waiting for some direction or guidance or ability to find out how do they get into this. I have received calls, but they've been more so from the media and from others saying, this looks like a huge challenge. How are you going to take it on? And you know, I'm going to sit down with legislators and probably the health department to get some of their thoughts and feedback. Probably those that have been involved in industrial hemp production. And when I say that, I mean the researchers. There's a lot of things to consider and talk about, maybe even the Pesticide Control Board, just to discuss, you know, how are we going to move forward so that we can assist producers or anybody that wants to cultivate this product. Now that it's legal, we have to make sure that it's being done so that people aren't harmed or even harming themselves.
So we've been I've been covering this hemp and cannabis and medicinal marijuana now for about 6 years, I suppose, with a number of different interviews and articles online. And in fact, I just recently wrote a political piece for Marijuana Ventures, a national magazine. They got my name online with some interview that you and I did on this, and asked me if I'd contribute. So I'm branching out into that particular realm in terms of my multimedia-ness. And so I kind of chuckle at how the ripple effect happens like that. And what was interesting in the course of doing some of my research and interviews was what you brought up is the different layers involved here that I don't think people understand. And when you mentioned about the seed, that really, it opened my mind once again, because when I was doing these stories on the political piece in Colorado, for example, they got a big issue with these dispensaries that are just taking cash because the SEC violations of a federal Schedule I drug. No banks will allow these dispensaries to deposit their money there. So these dispensaries have got hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash. And so, I mean, you know, that are there any other these major federal and statewide clashes that you see, like the seed, which is international drug smuggling, really, at the end of the day, if you order from Canada? And, you know, if you deposit your money in banks, well, then the feds can come in and seize all the assets out of there. So what kind of these issues do you see that are going to really need to be worked out?
Well, and there's just some things we're probably never really going to get worked out because you brought up a good point. Federal law still looks at this as a controlled substance, and they are not, or the financial institutions are going to be very hesitant about allowing any type of credit card transactions or transactions in general to take place through their system. But not only that, you have the DEA that's going to be hands-off now and with respect to medical marijuana, but you still have recreational use of marijuana that they're not going to be. These are fine lines, and it's tricky. It's problematic. I know, visiting with some of those states where marijuana is being used, DEA has just walked away, threw their hands up in the air. They don't touch them. They don't touch those states. But then, you know, you're operating in a different realm now. And although you have a state law, you still have a federal law that is still applicable in some respects, in some ways. So management, care, cultivation, you're still gonna fall under the guidelines and the rules and regulations of the state and the federal law. When it comes to utilizing it under state law for medical use, that you'll be able to do as a state, but there's going to have to be some rules in place if you're going to look at the cultivation and propagation of it.
Tell you what, you're going to see a spike in credit unions because they're not federally regulated, so you're going to see a big spike in those. I did learn that. I did learn that. I tell you, when I was doing the Colorado dispensaries research and stories, the owners were just blowing my mind. I mean, one guy, he literally was burying cash in his backyard in barrels, like in Breaking Bad, because he couldn't put it anywhere. And the biggest problem they were having is how to pay their employees. So like one guy was just paying them cash, and he was going to let the IRS figure that out later on. Another guy was... Right, exactly, because of taxes. And another guy was paying, or he was trying to go through the paperwork to actually become a credit union. So his dispensary would be also a credit union, so that that way he could cash his employees' paychecks and a number of different things. And that is a big deal. I mean, when you start talking about Kickstarter campaigns, well, when you go through the internet, there's some SEC oversight there, so you cannot do these marijuana projects online as well. I mean, that's – anyway, so some fascinating things that are coming down the path. So as far as your office is concerned – you guys are going to sculpt a law together, and you're going to put something out there. It'll get approved. It'll get blessed by whoever needs to do that. And then, you know, by New Year time, there's going to be something in the books that says that North Dakota is a state where you can have medicinal marijuana and grow it, huh?
Well, it'll have to be. It'll take us through this fall and into winter to get that done before spring. That still doesn't necessarily address the issue with what's taking place in someone's home or a greenhouse. That raises a whole other set of questions. So this is going to take a roundtable discussion, and it's going to also involve some of the legislature, some of the leadership, so that we can figure out you know, what is it that they are comfortable with? How do they want to move forward with it? And given the fact that there's already laws on the book, how do we comply with what's there? I'm not about regulating people to death, but I did take an oath of office and I have a job to do, and I have to make sure that I uphold that. So trying to do this as seamlessly as possible is one of my goals in this. But it's going to be a little bit tricky from here on out, at least for short term, just to figure out what are some of the multiple issues that we have to address and cover and make sure that we are trying to put this in light of what somebody is doing with respect to cultivation and application.
Okay. Anything else that you think we need to add in there when it comes to cannabis agriculture in terms of North Dakota now that the election's over? And, you know, obviously you're right, it's going to be a roundtable discussion with many departments. We're talking about, you know, finance and commerce and health and law and probably even the UAS. All these different departments are going to carve out some kind of law that makes sense. But as in terms of from your guys' office, though, really, we're just talking about more or less some of the growers and that sort of thing in terms of either marijuana or hemp. I would imagine that this new passing of medicinal marijuana is probably going to even shed some light on the hemp harvesting and planting as well, huh?
Well, and that's why we have another concern here. Legally, the federal government has given us the authority to allow producers to grow industrial hemp in the United States. And if we run into a situation here now where we could compromise the integrity of that seed of those plants and render it ineffective or the inability to sell, that's a problem. So we're going from something that's highly regulated to something that we're trying to figure out how do you regulate it. And that's a little bit more problematic. Congress had something to do with industrial hemp. Congress did not have anything to do with medical marijuana. And that's going to be up to the state legislature and departments like mine to figure out how do we move forward to devise and design a set of rules and regulations that would help people comply and still be able to deliver on a product that they need, that they can legally now distribute or use.
And here's to the sound of one hand clapping, and here's to not letting this moment pass. And here's to carrying the weight of the world. And here's to screaming, yeah, never being heard. And here's to not letting this moment pass.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids and Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
The oil and gas industry is coming back, and you need a source to keep up to date on the industry. Check out Oil Man, the magazine for leaders in the American energy industry. Each issue gives you a competitive edge with the latest oil and gas news. In addition to the news and analysis, the Oil Man brings you exciting features, publishes photos from yesteryear that chronicle the history of the oil and gas industry. Visit oilman.com to learn more and subscribe today. That's theoilman.com.